All right, well, thank you again. And I'm going to be talking about, following Shinsuke's talk about artichoke transplants. As you know, those working in nursery, two strategies are very important for producing high quality transplants. One is irrigation systems, and the other is nitrogen applications. And so very little work has been done on trying to improve transplant quality on artichokes, which is an important high value commodity in the US and in the world. So why artichokes? It's a high value commodity. It's a very minor crop in Texas. We're trying to introduce this crop, and we have some growers that have done some work, but as you can see there, so the almost 99% of the artichokes are grown in California from the north part to the south part, so it's quite strong, the production in the west coast. So during the last 6-7 years, we have developed an integrated system for production, from seed to transplants to harvest, including quality. We were looking at several strategies. Most of the efforts have been done on the crop management, looking at the irrigation, deficit irrigation, nitrogen levels, application of GA to induce bolting, flowering, on a variety of green and red types of artichokes. But one of the things that we have not really looked in detail is looking at improving the stand establishment of this plant for areas like southern Texas or western or southern U.S. where temperatures are much higher and not moderated like in the west coast. You know, they have the sea that can have a buffering capacity moderating temperatures. So this is the emphasis of this work. The typical planting time for artichokes in South Texas, southwestern Texas, is in the fall, so typical middle of early October. It can go middle, late September. It's a little bit very stressful in the temperatures, but then when you get into October, that's much better. And then you can see there the vegetative growth, and then the harvesting occurs sometimes in between mid-late March up to late April, early May. During fall planting, drought stress and high temperature stress can have a tremendous effect on survival of plants. In fact, this year, a grower that will be working with about 40 acres of artichokes in Brownsville near the Mexican border, he lost 50% of the transplant that he received from California. So it was a tremendous losses. And in part because transplant quality, in part is because of the temperatures and also drought conditions. Another aspect that we are looking is, can we produce artichokes earlier than the March-April window, and because that's where the price is low. And so looking to see where we can produce in the winter, but that means that we have to plant those in the summer. I mean, this is a moderate to cool season plant, so then you have a tremendous high temperatures. But no, we want to explore that possibility, and then if we apply GA to induce the cold requirement, we might be able to produce plants during the winter. So in terms of literature about a high quality transplant for artichoke is very, very little. So it's a couple of works done, one is in Argentina, that they're looking at some improving root development, and that's our emphasis in terms of these seedlings. But this was done in micropropagated materials that they induce a better root development by a combination of auxins and cyclodextrins in the media. But this is not in the transplants media that we use. But at least it is a good information in terms of promoting root development. There is some work done in Bari in Italy, in which also they're using micropropagating materials inoculated with the mycorrhizae, which has shown some enhancement on the leaf physiology as well as growth of the seedlings. We have done some work with the graduate student Togo Shinohara, and he compared different physical antitranspirants, and none of them really were effective in mitigating drought stress. However, as Shinsuke has shown in the previous presentation for several cucurbit crops and solanaceous crops, ABA also was able to mitigate drought stress in artichokes. And this is an example that shows plants that have been sprayed with ABA up to 2,000 ppm or 2,000 milligrams, and then left for 4 days of dehydration or no water, and you can see the protective effect of AVA treated plants as compared to the controlled. And as Shinsuke has shown, those plants have a much better plant water status, less damage, and overall, the response was pretty good. So the objective is quite simple. We wanted to produce high quality transplants, and we look at these two irrigation systems using the overhead, the classical nursery irrigation versus flotation system. We've done some early work on flotation, trying to use that system also to induce root development in peppers and tomatoes. And then we use two levels of nitrogen, low and high, and looking at root shoot development and overall physiology of the seedlings. And again, the goal is to enhance the seedling vigor so that this transplant can have some level of stress tolerance to improve the stand establishment in regions like southwestern Texas. So this was a repeated experiment in the greenhouse. We used the variety Green Globe or Green Globe Improved, and again overhead and flotation irrigation. One is the treatment. The second is the irrigation. The nitrogen level we use 75 ppm versus 150 ppm. Fertigation was done a weekly, and then the transplants were grown for 8 weeks. The measurements done on root growth components and shoot growth components and gas exchange and nitrogen levels in the leaves were done in the leaves and the roots were done at 4 weeks after seeding and 7 weeks, which is 1 week prior to field transplanting. And he showed on some of the experimental methodologies, just the seeding and the measurements on gas exchange, the spot, the chlorophyll, the stomata number, and then he showed the different flotation and overhead, very simple. Basically, we use containerized transplants using speedling trays, 128 cells per tray. Okay, let's go to the results. This shows the root and shoot components, and the values here are expressed as the percentage change from low nitrogen to high nitrogen. So the black color indicates a positive response, the red color indicates a decreased response, and if you see an arrow, that means it was significant. So as you can see here, by using low nitrogen levels, overall it has increased the root components, root length, root surface areas, and the root forks number, which is an indication of root branching, and a slightly decrease on the root diameter. So we meaning that we're enhancing the early finer roots as compared to thicker roots. And the opposite in terms of the shoot components, leaf area and shoot length, you see a significant decline in these two components by using low nitrogen as compared to high nitrogen. When we look at the gas exchange and the chlorophyll content, we see in these two cycles the plants have a lower chlorophyll content with low nitrogen, about 15-16%, and a reduction in the photosynthetic rate, not great, but about 13-12%. Not much change in the stomatal conductance. In fact, we've seen a little bit of higher, although not significant, at the end of the cycle. This is a very interesting response, so we are going to be looking more into this. In terms of the flotation, overall, as you see, there's not many arrows, so even though the colors indicate a decline in red, overall, the changes in the root components as well as the shoot components between the flotation irrigation system and overhead has been really very little, except of a decline in some of the root components for the overhead, for the flotation irrigation, root length, root surface area, and root diameter. When we look at the flotation system versus overhead in terms of the leaf physiology, again, very little change in terms of these two irrigation systems, except that there was a significant decline in the photosynthetic rate in those plants growing with flotation systems compared to the overhead irrigation. And in part, again, when we look at the nitrogen concentration on both the shoots and the roots, you can see that there was really significant decline on the nitrogen concentration as expected using low levels of nitrogen for the transplant, and also not as high, but about 11% decline in the nitrogen concentration, equally in both roots and shoot when used the flotation systems. We did a stomatal count, and it was a significant increase in the number of stomates per constant area. However, as Ashinsky showed before, in terms of the ABA, that reduces, you know, the leaf expansion, so this was compensated because also the leaf area of these treatments and the low nitrogen and the flotation was significantly lower as compared to the high nitrogen or overhead. So in summary, the plants that grown with less nitrogen has an improvement in terms of root components. Vice versa, the plants with high nitrogen has a significant increase in the shoot components, in nitrogen concentration, and then also the overall physiology of the plant. When we look at the overhead irrigation versus flotation, very little change. In fact, most of the measurements were non-significant. A little slight trend of slight improvement with overhead as compared to flotation in some of the leaf gas exchange, but really not much significance. And he shows a picture of the transplant, the root development of the low nitrogen. So you can see a significant increase in the number of roots and root length as compared to the 150 ppm. And so we also look at the pulling force. Typically, if you are a grower in the nursery, or if you're growing in the field, if the plants takes a little more force to pull from the trays, it can be an indication of very good root development if you are using a speedling tray, because the speedling tray is polystyrene, it has air pockets, so those fine roots tend to grow inside the tray. So the more strength that you need to do to pull them out may be an indication of a better root development. In fact, we've seen a significant increase by using low nitrogen as compared to the high nitrogen. This is a picture just before going into the field transplanting. You see the flotation high nitrogen versus flotation low nitrogen, significant decrease in the plant size. And again, you can see in overhead and high and low, not as much as compared to the flotation, but still quite different between the two. So in conclusion, you can see here that the transplant at low nitrogen has a kind of a protective effect from the risk of high temperatures and drought. And this is a picture actually of the seedlings 5 weeks, days after transplanting in the field. Applying this level of nitrogen with either system flotation or overhead was able to produce a better quality plant. So shorter plants, more rich plants, that were able to tolerate the shock during transplanting in our conditions. No time to talk what's next, but obviously we are looking into the follow-up in the field. This picture shows that we can grow artichokes in Texas, and so the early indications data that came last month, we would show that at least the plants with low nitrogen were equal to the high nitrogen, and in fact, no, there was a numerical increase, not statistical increase. So we're excited about that these plants able to tolerate the early shock, but also to produce well as compared to the high nitrogen level. And with that, I want to thank the sponsors for this. This is part of the specialty crop block grant program that all of you, probably some of you, have. And we're working with the National Center for Applied Technology and in collaboration with two farmers that are part of this grant. And again, together with our staff, we've been helping a lot. Cutting artichoke, it takes quite a bit of time. With that, I wanted to thank you. I don't know if I have time. I guess maybe one question. Consume artichokes, they're pretty good.
Have you done any work on if there's not a drought stress, but there's a heat stress?
Yeah, the question is whether it's the drought stress and heat stress. In fact, the paper we talked about, we published last year in Scientia, this was a growth chamber experiment. We were looking both at the heat stress and drought stress characterized, and it's quite quite dramatic, the difference in terms of high temperature stress. I mean, it's the, in terms of the physiology and the growth of the plant. And so obviously for us it's a combination of the two. And mostly actually, no, heat stress and drought stress. I mean, because you can basically irrigate the plants. You're not going to put the plants on stress, but no, in certain time of the year, you can have a month without rains and then high BPDs and wind, so drought can have a compounding effect with heat. So we're going to be looking into that to try to see whether we can make those plants survive under very high temperatures. So it's not easy. These plants are actually, they look very hard, but as I've mentioned, the stomatal conductance, well, those were very high. So we have to look at that more carefully, because it's they transpire a lot when they are young, even though in September, October. So, Shinsuke?
When you order transplants from California, do they come in a tray, or they already bought and packed in a box?
Yeah, the question is whether the plants come in, the transplant come in a tray and pull and pack. Typically, the growers will ask in trays. And actually, for artichoke itself, pull and pack, I think it can be dangerous if you are in the southern region of the U.S. In part because the root system is different than the one in the solanaceous crops. I was expecting that flotation irrigation will have a little bit better root system. So we really didn't see that much, but I think with trays is probably safer. But the importance is how those plants have been conditioning from the nursery. I mean, this came from California; it could come from Texas to Florida. So you have to be follow up that how those plants were growing in the nursery. All right. So thank you very much.